You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
What's up, everyone? I'm Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
And on this episode, you're not going to hear Kat because she's not here. Of course, we miss her on this episode, but we do have the lovely, wonderful JJ joining us this evening.
Yeah, we are thick into wedding planning season around our end. So it might be a few episodes where we're trading off and on. It doesn't mean we don't dislove ghosts in any way. We still love ghosts, whether we think they're real or not.
And JJ, you're inviting all the fans to your wedding, right? All the hauntings?
Email realhauntings@gmail.com. Just let us know you want to come to the wedding and we'll send you an invite.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that.
Yep.
On this episode, we had Stacy reach out to us. She works at a library that is also haunted. So haunted that they have a 24/7 feed of the library. Stacy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And you also told us that you listened to the podcast, which I didn't know that from reading your email. How did you find Real Hauntings?
I had a friend. We send TikToks to each other all the time. And she sent me a TikTok and it was about a whole long list of, different spooky podcasts. And I've been doing a lot of traveling lately. And that was the first one on the list. And I listened to an episode and I got sucked in and I'm still here.
Huh. I wonder who that was. Do you remember who the TikToker was?
I tried to look it up, but we send so many TikToks to each other. It's like ridiculous. So I couldn't find it. But if I do, I'll let you know so that you can definitely give a shout out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's super cool. And we appreciate you listening. Well, we love to find out where our guests fall on the believometer. 0 meaning ghosts are not real. And 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that list?
Absolutely a number 10.
Wow, JJ. So we got another 10 with us tonight.
All right.
I don't know if it's because we're getting closer to October, but I feel like we've been getting more 10 and over. So I think we had a 15 recently. I was like, okay, let's settle down.
I mean, if I could go up to 15, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't expect much less from a librarian because I feel like if ghosts are real, libraries are probably pretty haunted. Not because anything bad happens in libraries, but I just feel like it would be like a chill place for a ghost to just hang out. And
okay, but you want to know a fun fact, though. You guys seen the original Ghostbusters?
Yes.
And it has the ghost in the beginning at the library.
Oh,
We were the inspiration for that.
No.
What? Yeah. Okay, where is your library?
So my library is Willard Public Library in Evansville, Indiana.
Oh, okay. And I feel like I have to ask every librarian these days, how are you doing?
Oh, great.
Okay. Because it's like hard out there for a lot of librarians. So I'm...
Yes. But I mean, I know that there's this stigma that, libraries are going to die. And I can honestly say that's not true. You know, we have resources. We are probably one of the last free resources you can get in America. I mean, come in, you can get a book with a library card. You can use computers. You can send fax machine or send faxes. You can't send fax machines. and it's just, and even just for normal reference questions too, you know, you get a lot of people who are not computer savvy and they don't know how to easily access the internet. And sometimes they want to know, what's the weather today? They may not have TV. They may not, you know, or we actually do have a patron who calls in about once a week and he wants you to read the obituaries in the paper.
So that's awesome.
It's kind of, you know, when you try to break it down, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like some Gen Z listener just went fax machine.
It's true.
You never know. Some people still want those faxes.
When I hear the word internet, I still hear doo doo dee.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In my head. So, I mean, yeah. That's the age that I grew up in. Yeah. Well, we're so glad that you joined us because, as JJ was saying, like, libraries are such a classic, you know, haunting experience. And now to find out that it may have been the inspiration for one of the scenes in Ghostbusters, that's really cool. I think Ghostbusters was probably my first introduction into
paranormal.
The paranormal. Maybe Casper, but I don't really have any memory.
Like true spooky.
Casper,
like,
but,
yeah. You know, quote, true spooky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I know I dug the Addams Family as a kid too, but I feel like Ghostbusters was like one of those things where somebody was like, oh, you haven't seen this, you got to see this, you know, since it came out in the 80s. Which was really cool. Well, you, Stacy, personally, we know that your library is haunted. What about you? Have you experienced any hauntings in your life?
I have. So a fun fact about me, as bubbly as I am, my parents actually, you know, death is how we had an income. My dad made headstones for a living. Both my parents dug graves, and my mom was also a caretaker of a cemetery. And the stories that they would come back with is just interesting. I've had a few in my adult life. I think the most recent one was I am the queen of naps. Naps are phenomenal. And I had a sleep paralysis incident, which I would know that you get spiders, you know, the giant spiders that come down. But anyways, at the time I had a roommate and I was sleeping in my chair and I could hear, and I heard him walk around the chair. And like, you know, when you can feel someone, even though you can't see them, like their energy, like they're this close to your face, like 2 inches. And that's what it's like. And I was like, why is he staring at me while I sleep? Like, this is, he's going to tear the Mickey out of me when I wake up, that, you know, there you are taking naps again. And so I let it go. And after it felt like it was done looking at me, like, are you really asleep? It walked away. And later on, he ended up waking up, and he came downstairs, and I said, did you get up earlier today and just like stare at me? And he goes, I just got up just now. I go, no, I mean, like a couple hours ago, like he came downstairs, got something to drink or something and stared at me from sleeping. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I just woke up like just now, like 2 minutes ago. And I was like, oh, okay. That's fun. And then when I lived in Washington State before I moved to Indiana, my husband had already moved out here and I was at home by myself, and I came home from work and was doing the things, and we lived in a split level home. And I thought I heard footsteps downstairs in our basement, which was odd. And I remember looking over the balcony that looks down into the basement, and I audibly heard a whisper that said, shh, she can hear us. And I was like, oh no. So I call my sister, and she's like, hi. And I said, hi. She goes, you're on speakerphone, by the way. And that's like, you know, code of, you know, don't say anything super embarrassing. And her husband on the Believe-O-Meter is quite low. And I was like, I explained the story to her, and she was like, okay. And I go, if in case somebody's here, I need you to call 911. Okay. And she goes, what are you going to go look? And I was like, of course I'm going to go look. And so she goes, do you have anything to protect yourself? And we had like one of those big old round pole sticks that you stick in your sliding glass door. And I was like, yeah, I got a stick. She goes, what are you going to do with that? I'm like, swing away, dude, swing away. Didn't find anything. Was completely freaked out.
Had you ever heard anything audible before then?
Yes. In that house as well, I was unpacking and I thought I heard my roommate go, what are you doing? And I answered, putting my shoes away. What are you doing? And I didn't hear anything. And I was like, okay. And it's a dead end hall. And I was like, oh, he went to his room or whatever, which was next to mine. And I finished doing what I was doing and walked down the stairs. And I was like, what are you doing? Give me the fifth degree about putting my shoes away. And he said, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you just asked me what I was doing. And he goes, I've been in a live game this whole time. I haven't left. And I was like, okay, awesome.
Do you ever think that like all these people are just like, hey, let's all punk Stacy. Like, let's say things to her and then pretend we were like doing something totally different.
But to be fair though, like as much as I would love to say like, maybe, my mom told me that I used to tell her that there was this woman who'd come and talk to me at night.
Really?
I don't have any memory of this. And I said, we were talking about it recently and she goes, yeah, you said that there was this lady that would come and talk to you every night. And I go, okay, what did she say? And she goes, I don't know. I tried asking you and you just said, she's just really nice. That was it. Mm-hmm. I also had a imaginary friend that lived in the closet and I don't think that they were imaginary. I cannot tell you any detail. You know, like if you think about your imaginary friends, you can be like, oh, they were, you know, 6'4" with, you know, purple skin and, you know, whatever. I can't tell you.
My imaginary friend was a squirrel. So.
That's awesome. I mean, I had lots of imaginary friends, but, and the fact that her name was Baby and it was a her and she lived in my closet is a little weird.
I feel like we've heard from a lot of our guests that like as children, they kind of would like, or sometimes they were observing their kids being like, oh, like, you know, that's my friend. So-and-so that nice lady, like they're just kind of like these weird, like grandma, grandpa spirits are just like,
you know, well, and I'll take it kid. Way better than the demon looking thing staring at me at night. Like I will take that. Yeah. Any day of the week.
You get a grandma ghost attached to you, you just won the ghost lottery.
Right?
Well, the name of this episode is definitely going to be Death, My Family's Income.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. And I'm saying it, so when I'm editing it, I'll go, oh yeah, that's the name of this episode. Well, that's really interesting. The only time I've ever heard an audible voice like that, I was at my parents' home, and I say my parents' home because I didn't grow up in that home. They moved to a different home after I'd moved out. But I'd been drinking with my family that night, and everybody else had gone to bed, and I stayed up to watch TV. And I got up off the couch and walked through the kitchen, and I audibly heard a male voice whispering behind my left ear. And of course I turned and nobody was there. Now I always just associated that with, hey, I was intoxicated. That must have been what caused it. But I will say that's never happened to me since. It never happened to me before when I had alcohol. So I don't know what that was, but that's the only thing I can relate to. JJ, how many times have you had voices talk to you? I don't know. Oh, it did happen on the podcast.
Well, yeah, there we go. Yeah. Y'all are talking in my head right now. Yeah. So it happens a lot, really, because I communicate to a lot of people via headphones and a laptop. So every day. Yeah, I guess every now and then I might like, or I'll hear something and be like, oh, what was that? I don't know. I guess I usually just like shake it off as like, oh, I heard a thing, unless it's like something where like someone else heard it too. And then we're like, what?
Yeah, that one on the podcast was creepy.
animal, but when you hear like a specific voice, that's
sure.
Or like when Kat and I heard like that whisper sound, that was creepy.
Yeah. And the fact that it bled through the podcast was super weird. I will say having a 2-year-old and doing a podcast like this, where you're constantly talking about the supernatural, it's really weird because I just assume that they're discovering their own imagination, you know, and they see one thing on TV and it becomes their whole life for a period of time.
Yeah.
And he has had some night terrors and then it kind of went away and now it's coming back, which I had as a kid too. Mm. But the other night I went in and he was crying or whatever. And it was like the third time I'd gone in, which is unusual for him. And so I was just like, hey, you know, what's wrong? Why can't you sleep? Cause he's at a point now where he can talk, you know, pretty good. And he pointed to the corner and he said, it's the monster. And I was like, ooh. Oh boy. Okay. And of course I didn't see anything there. Then I go that right there. And he said, yes. And I said, okay. So I turned around to it and I was like, hey, leave my kid alone. I said his name, you know? And so I just like yelled at this imaginary thing. And then he was repeating everything I was saying. And I was like, is it gone? And he was like, yeah, we got rid of it. And I was like, okay, bud. But it is kind of weird. You do this podcast enough where where I think normally I would just be like, whatever, and move on about my business. But because we've heard so many stories, you know, especially people talking about their kids, you're like, okay, I really hope there's not a monster in that room, you know?
Well, and you have to remember too, like if you hear through, I mean, especially a lot of mediums, because I watch a lot of stuff and listen to a lot of mediums talk, intent is everything. So if you're like, yo, get out, you're not welcome here. You know, words have power. Conviction is a very important. So good for you.
Yeah, dude, I'm super brave with monsters I can't see. I will fuck them up, you know? I'm sorry. I feel like I derailed us. But so, Stacey, you had these experiences. Your family grew up kind of surrounded by death.
Correct.
Do you feel like that has had a direct influence with you ending up at this library that is kind of has some infamy with being haunted?
Yeah, a little bit. Actually, I have a friend who was talking to me, and he's also part of the spooky family. And he said, you know, it wasn't a coincidence that you ended up here. And I will say that how I even found Willard to start with is that one of my friends, she took me around, and I love old buildings. And if you've never seen Willard Library, it is an old Gothic Victorian building. It opened up in 1885, and majority of everything outside and inside the building is original. So very old building. And so she takes me to this beautiful, gorgeous library, and it was Halloween night actually. And I was like, oh, that is so beautiful. And then she's like, yeah, it's notoriously haunted. And I said, what? And she goes, yeah, by the Lady in Gray. And I was like, nah. And I pulled it up on the website, and then I went to bed that night, and I woke up and I said, you know what, I wonder if they're hiring. And ta-da.
Oh, that's interesting, the way that kind of what sparked your interest.
Yes. Like, and once I came in, like as soon as I stepped foot in that building, like lack of a better term, like it just felt like home. Like, and that's something I've told many people. Everybody, all my friends and family know how much I love my job, how much I love being at Willard. It's my favorite place to be besides, you know, home on my couch. But I love Willard. I love being there. And it's just this homey feel to me. And I hope that that actually goes out to our patrons too. But for me personally, I love being there every day, all day, every day. So
I can't help but wonder, you know, we've heard about the Lady in White, the Lady in Black, now the Lady in Gray. I want to say the Lady in Red. I wonder if all these famous ghost spirits get together somewhere and all these ladies are like the head of the, you know, the ghost table, and they announce attendance. They're like Lady in White, Lady in Black, Lady in, you know, because we hear so much about specific ladies and specific colors. Do you have any opinion on that, Stacey? Why that's such a trope in the ghost spirit world?
I think that it is, you know, people just kind of do it as an identifying factor. And the reason why the lady in gray is called the lady in gray is because she's gray. So she was first sighted in 1937. And the custodian went down early one winter morning to stock the furnace with coal. And a woman in Victorian garb with a gray veil over her face. She was solid gray, transparent, appeared in front of him, scared the daylights out of him. And he is actually the only employee on record to have ever left employment at Willard Library due to the ghost.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's spooky. I also like your theory, Noah, that maybe there's a council of ladies in different colored dresses. But maybe as skeptics, I don't know. But it might just be the color they appear in. But
I mean, if you think about it, if you see a lady in white or you see a white ghost, you're going to be like, I saw a ghost. What did it look like? It was white. I mean,
the white ghost.
Or red. I mean, I think a lady in red would, I think a red ghost would be scary.
Yeah.
Personally, but
demonic.
But I have never seen any, I've never seen the gray lady. I've been asked and no, I have heard things and smelled things. Things that I've heard is phantom crying. And, as my, where I normally work is on the adult services floor, which, is a place where, you know, normal library check-in, check-out. You have children's in the bottom floor, and on our top floor is our research room for genealogy. And sometimes I work downstairs in the basement, which is where Children's and Archives is. And I was working in archives, and I like to listen to deep focus music very lightly. The room's very echoey, and it sounds beautiful. And you know, and sometimes you get tired of having noise just in general, and you just want silence. So I turned the music off, and I heard a woman sobbing. And I mean, not just like boohoo, it was like, and it was just audible. And I'm like, am I hearing what I think I'm hearing? And I'm like, huh. And it was enough to make me get up out of my chair and walk towards the bathrooms, because that's where it sounded like it was coming from. Mm-hmm. And I got down there, and by the time I got to the bathrooms, it stopped. And I went into the ladies' bathroom, you know, and see if there was someone who needed help. There wasn't. I looked around. There was nobody there. I promptly called my boss and I said, hi. And she said, hi. And I go, are you busy? And she goes, no. She goes, what's up? I go, well, I heard a woman crying and nobody's there. And she immediately was like, do you need to come upstairs and hang out with me for a little bit? I'm like, no, I'm fine. It's good. It's good. So then flash forward to, oh gosh, I think a couple of months later, my boss came to me. She goes, oh my gosh, did you talk to our archivist? And I said, no, what happened? And she goes, she heard phantom crying. And I go, nah. And I haven't told anybody other than my boss. And my boss is the best secret keeper of all time. Uh-huh. And I know she didn't say anything. And so I went and talked to the archivist, and her story was exactly like mine. And when I told her, I'm like, it happened to me too. Just the recognition of,
yeah,
I'm not alone. It's a sanity check. Like, you heard it too. Oh my gosh.
Right.
So that was, that one was pretty good. She also likes the elevator. She uses the elevator frequently.
The archivist or
no, the gray lady.
Ghost that was
the crying. Ghost.
The gray lady.
The gray lady.
Do you think it was the gray lady that you heard crying, or is that's speculation, I guess.
But. Speculation.
Yeah.
The speculation also, while we're talking about that, is that speculation is that the gray lady ghost is Louise Carpenter. And to give you a quick little history crash course, Willard Library was founded by Willard Carpenter. And he wanted to leave a lasting legacy on Evansville. And in doing so, he decided to build this beautiful library. Cool. And I mean, and he was all about it. I mean, he was bringing brick and mortar onto the building every day in his 80s, which ultimately led him to have a stroke in 1883. And in doing so, he left majority of his money to the library and very little to his family. Now, you have to remember, or you don't know this, but Mr. Carpenter was not father of the year. So he had a very strained relationship with his family. So his youngest daughter was like, I didn't get enough money. So she took the library to court, sued them, claiming that her father was not in the right state of mind when he made his will. And she lost. So the theory is that once the Gray Lady is actually Louise Carpenter coming back to haunt the library that cheated her out of her inheritance. I personally don't think it's Louise Carpenter, because if you're that salty, I would think you'd be a little bit more aggressive and malevolent than some of the friendly poltergeist activity that we've been receiving. But that's just me personally.
Is Louise Carpenter, she is a Midwesterner, so like she has that passive aggressiveness.
No, she was very stubborn and very straightforward, like to the point that like her and her dad butted heads, and he actively told her, like, I do not like your husband, you should divorce him. And she's like, nah. And she waited until after her dad died to divorce her husband.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
She just didn't want to admit she was wrong.
I guess.
This is like the most Midwestern sounding family. Like emotionally absent dad who works himself to death.
I mean, and he started from nothing and grew his, I don't want to say empire, but, you know, grew his wealth. Library. And he was very eccentric. And, you know, if he was a poor man, it is rumored that he would have been called crazy. And I mean, and for 1883 or in the 1880s, because the library opened 2 years after he died, so he didn't even get to see it completed. The fact that he made this library so that all classes, all races, all sexes were able to have an, you know, read, it was free, that it was open to the public, literally. And for that time frame, for the 1800s, that's like some extreme forward thinking.
That's
out of the year or not.
If people were just like, here, have some free internet, everybody. Like that was the internet then. That's the only way people get information.
Libraries offer that.
Yeah. They still do. Oh my gosh, they still do.
Wow. So Stacy, one thing I saw in your email is that your library offers a 24/7 ghost stream.
Yes. So funny story about that. Our cams went up about like 20 years ago, and that was on a whim.
And wait, 20 years ago. Okay. So it's, we're what, 2022?
Yeah. So about 2002.
That's kind of crazy to me. So that's some like real retro old internet cameras that they started out with.
Oh yes, as they started out with. And originally it was only supposed to be one night only. So like on Halloween night, and then, you know, go on until then turn off on the next day on the first. And what ended up happening is 2 million people hit the cameras and crashed the whole internet.
Wow. Why? And I mean, was it because of the ghost stories?
Yeah, because it was, you know, just through word of mouth that the library is haunted, and all worldwide, and 2 million people hit our cameras that night and crashed the internet. And so at that point, our director was like, this is on to something. And so we ended up having cameras 24/7, and they get hit all the time. And then we actually have I don't want to say it's a fan group. I would say dedicated watchers.
I thought you were going to say stalkers.
No. they're the Willard Ghost Chatters on Facebook. And it's, you know, and they watch the cameras. And, you know, I have friends and family who think it's really cool when they'll text me and be like, go wave at the hallway camera, and I'll run down there and wave and then go back. So as you're talking about, you know, I mean this nicely, the old janky cameras, we recently got updated in the past couple of years. So beforehand it was like, you know, you see a picture or you see the camera or the, the room, whatever one you're looking at, and like it refresh like every 2 seconds,
yeah.
You know, it does that. Now we have kind of a fluid motion of exactly what we do, like with FaceTime. Oh, the only difference is there's a lag time about, I think I counted like 70 seconds, I think something along those lines, but a lot more live, easier to see. I do believe our top floor in the research room, which is the genealogy department, I think that cam is down as of now. They're working on getting it back up, which is interesting because it always feels like that camera always goes out. There's always an issue.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey, y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box. When you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me, free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Now, in the history of 20 years or so of there being a 24/7 feed, has anyone ever seen supernatural activity? And if so, have they ever documented it on the stream?
Yes. So what they end up doing is the original one was they were able to like click and it take a snapshot and then you would send it. Now, because we're all able to screenshot with our phones or with our computers, say difference. If you see something, screenshot it and then, you know, email it to the our website account and we'll have someone look at it. But yes, that's a long answer to your question. Yes. There was one where I think people have said that there's a little boy named Billy who used to hang out on the stairs and people would, you know, circle and, you know, there he is. I've never seen it. There's things that you do debunk too, where people like, look at this orb, it's moving. And it's like, well, that's a sunspot. But, you know, thank you for paying attention, though. I appreciate it. There is another one that I have. Unfortunately, when the old cams went down, so did all the history stuff. Yeah, but I do have a couple of snapshots, and one of them is this old man on the stairs, and he has a bowler cap on, and it's the coolest thing. And it was like 2019, I think September 2019, something like that, maybe 2020. And it was, I mean, you can't miss it. I mean, a bowler cap. Oh my gosh, it was the coolest thing. We call him Frank. Don't know if that's his real name or not, but that's what we call him. And then there is the Lady in Gray, which we actually have caught photos of, at least one. And with that one, so trying to give you a quick rundown. When we close the building at night, we turn all of our lights off. We all meet on the main floor. We all exit the building together. An alarm is set. And that when the alarm is set, a notification is sent to the director saying it's been secure.
Yeah.
So on this particular night, did that. And all the employees walk out to the parking lot. And we all noticed, or well, I wasn't there at that point in time, wish I was, this was in 2019, all the top floor lights were on, all of them. And we're like, that was weird. So two of my coworkers were brave enough to go back in, undid the alarm, and the librarian who worked the top floor, he went back up. And he's a seasoned librarian. I mean, he's closed this building so many times he could do it in his sleep. So why would you leave all the lights on? Like, that's just an odd thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe he didn't. Maybe he did forget. Well, he turned all the lights off, went back downstairs. The two of them set the alarm and left. And I think someone got a snapshot of a figure walking down the stairs. I think like 2 minutes after the alarm was set. Or was it 5 minutes? It was some the time frame of when it was hit to. So
and the alarm, like it's motion sensor alarms, like it didn't pick up any of this.
Yes. No, they did not. So our alarm systems do like doors opening. And then, yes, some of them will go off if there's a motion detector. And unfortunately, there isn't a motion detector on our actual staircase. There is everywhere else in the building, but you have to be able to open those doors in order to even access the staircase. So that would have triggered an alarm.
Yeah.
Wow. And obviously this has now become, or for a while has been a part of the library. How does that impact the day-to-day functioning of the library? Has it been an asset to have this lore? Is there like ghost merch that people can buy?
Oh yes, there is. We actually have t-shirts that have the Gray Lady on them. We used to, if not, we still do have mugs, and it says Willard Library on it. And when you fill the mug full of hot water, the Gray Lady appears.
Oh, nice.
We have some, you know, ornaments, but as ghost wise, those are the only two things that really tailor towards the ghosts. In October, we actually do ghost tours, which we haven't been able to do them for the past 2 years due to the pandemic. But this year is the first time we're coming back, and they're free. And you just go to our website and get your free tickets, and you can do an after hours ghost tour with one of the staff.
Have you ever thought about bringing through like a trusted medium to see what their feelings are about the library?
We have. It's just, it's price point. I don't know how to tactfully put that, but yes, we have thought about that there. I mean, and that's not to say that, you know, there aren't actual mediums who come through. We've had mediums come through, and I mean, and many of them have said, you know, they tried to reach out to the Lady in Gray and she doesn't want to talk to them. Actually, Lorraine Warren actually came to our library in the 80s. Wow. They were doing some type of convention in the area, and she came through, and the Lady in Gray wouldn't even talk to Lorraine Warren.
How often do you get people like coming up to the resource desk just to ask questions about
the ghosts? All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And I mean, and you know, we're all truthful. Some of us, I think one of my coworkers has been there for 26 years and she's never had an experience, not one.
Yeah.
And then there are some of us, you know, I had an experience within the first 8 months. So, yeah. You know, it kind of depends. And I think, like, I don't want to say severity, but, like, you know, sometimes it's just, it is an old building. So when you think you hear footsteps, you know, it is old wooden floors. Right. And so it's like, and we live in a humid area. So it's like, is it because of the temperature change? Mm-hmm. Is it because, I mean, and most of us don't jump to, it's the ghost. It's kind of like, and you know, I'll do a sweep. And sometimes like I'll hear people or I'll hear voices and I'm like, oh my gosh, I hear something. And it's people outside talking. You know, it's something that simple, but there are like the crying, I can't explain that. I even went down to the children's department, which is also in the basement. And I said, do you happen to have like a kid in here that was crying? And she said, I haven't had anybody in for the past hour.
Yeah.
Do you ever get scared or do you just kind of poor kid? No.
Not of ghosts or anything else.
Remember, income by death. That's my family.
I don't like snakes. No, thank you. Just no, thank you.
Yeah, me either. I'll never forget. We interviewed somebody from Australia who did the whole interview from outside. If you're listening, we love you and thank you for coming on the podcast. But I remember her just being like, oh yeah, I just grabbed a giant snake and threw it off to the side. It was going through the driveway and we're all like,
no, thanks. No, thank you. No, I haven't. I mean, like it's when I was first there, I've been with Willard for 3 years now. When I was first there, yeah, I went in open-minded. Like I didn't, you know, people are like, this place is haunted. And, you know, sometimes those places aren't haunted, but I went in with an open mind. I didn't expect anything. And, it was like, I think it was in November and or December. Anyways, I was by myself and I'm sitting here. There's no patrons, no other staff on my floor. And I'm like, well, you know what? I'm going to introduce myself because if I look like an idiot, at least I look like an idiot by myself. So that's cool. And I just nicely said, you know, hi, my name is Stacy. I'm new here to Willard and I really love this library. I really love what I do here so far. I just want to let you know that I don't like being scared. I don't want you to touch me. Don't be pulling no chairs out in front of me. You can let me know you're here in other ways. And then I felt like I started scaring myself. And so I started singing Christmas carols because apparently that's my coping mechanism. And
what's your go-to carol?
Oh, I think it was Carol of the Bell. Or We Wish You a Merry Christmas. Yeah. I don't have to think. I don't have to worry about the words. It's just notes. And
JJ, that was great wrist action on that.
Yeah, imaginary. I'm sorry, our listeners couldn't see my pantomiming my object work of being in so bell good. Choir.
It's so good.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you so
and
much.
So I was sitting there, and I was like, okay, I'm just creeping myself out, and all of a sudden, our elevator dings open, and that's not unusual. The doors open and nobody's coming out. And we do get a lot of patrons who, you know, have a hard time getting around or they have walkers or, you know, and I didn't want the elevator door to close on them. So I, you know, round the corner to help them and there's nobody there. Now, yes, people can, you know, jump in the elevator and they hit all the buttons and that can happen. The thing that makes this creepy is the fact that to call our elevator, you have to push the button and that button stays lit. It does not light unless you push it. And it was lit. And I was like, oh, I tried to debunk it. I did all the elevator rides and all the combinations to try and make it work. And it only stays lit when the elevator's in motion and you need it to go to that floor.
Huh. So like, not only was there just like an empty elevator getting on the floor, but the lights were behaving differently than how they should. Like some weird.
And our elevator gets like serviced often. So, I mean, like frequently.
So you don't think it was like some kind of electrical issue? It
I really don't. It hasn't happened again. I've been whistled at in the elevator as well. It's a kind of a matchbox size elevator. You know, you could probably fit comfortably four people if you sit in the four corners of the elevator. Yeah. And I was working the night shift. So on Mondays and Tuesdays, we're open until 8 p.m. And I was lazy and didn't want to take the stairs. So I took the elevator because I didn't want to run up, come back down. And I get into the elevator, I hit my floor, and behind me where I'm standing, there's probably 12 inches and somebody whistled. And I can't whistle, so I can't tell you what it sounded like, but it was a high low sound, like two distinct notes. Not a fox call. It was okay, just kind of like good. It was just like I'm here type of thing. And I remember walking out of the elevator and I just kept turning around looking, and my coworker goes, "What?" And I told him what happened. And bless his heart, because he's dying to have a paranormal experience. So when I told him this, he goes, "Why doesn't this happen to me? When's my turn?" And he's been with us for a year. So poor kid. Anyways, and he tried to debunk it. He got in the elevator and he said, he goes, "The elevator makes a kind of like a humming whistle sound, you know." He goes, "Where did the sound come from?" I go, "Behind me, like my right ear behind me." Mm-hmm. And there isn't room for anyone behind me. But I wasn't scared. Like, I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Have you ever played the elevator game in that elevator?
No, I'm not going to dabble in that.
What's the elevator game?
You ever hear the Lisa Lam story?
Yeah. It's like supposedly a way to... I mean, my understanding is like you connect to some demonic force in the elevator by a combination of buttons.
Okay, but that's a combination of buttons. We only have three. We have the basement, the main floor, and then the top floor.
That might be difficult.
Those are the only three you need. Yeah.
Well, and the other interesting thing about our elevator too is that on our top floor in the genealogy department, we have a ton of old, gorgeous old books. And for security reasons, we lock the elevator so that people don't wander away with them. However, that's one of the reasons why the elevator's locked. The other reason is because before the books were in the way, the shelving was in the way, we have a Berry Plastics. It's a factory right next to us. Our maintenance man would get phone calls saying that our elevator was going all night upstairs, and just the doors would open and close.
Have the camera feed on that elevator for people?
No, not facing that. We have had the spirits, I guess, are notorious for covering their tracks so much. So like one of my coworkers, they were the last ones I know of that have actually seen the lady in gray. And they saw her on, because we have security cameras everywhere on top of our ghost cams. And this basically a wall of screens. And these two ladies were working in the children's department. And one of them said, "Could you come here for a minute?" And she walks over and she goes, "Do you see what I see?" And she said, "I see a lady in a gray Victorian dress and a veil staring out the door window." Like it's a glass door. And she stared at it. And she goes, "That's what I see." And then all of a sudden, the gray lady turns and looks at the camera, and her face disappears, and so does the rest of her. And so when they reround the footage to when that happened, it was snowy, garbled.
I feel like you would have immediately started going, "Do you see what I see?" Christmas song.
I mean, the one of the librarians, she was like, "You know, I have a half day coming, and today be that day." She was out.
That's wild. Well, there's obviously a plethora of things going on there. How can people support the library? I mean, you know, that the library as in the institution is something that I think all of us grew up with, being a part of our lives. And of course, the internet was around when we were all kids. JJ is a little younger than me, but, you know, but the internet has kind of pushed, I feel like, the library down a little bit in people's minds, but obviously it's still a great access to underprivileged, to just kids getting into reading, you know, having a physical book. So how can we all make sure that libraries are around for the future generations of people?
Well, so I would say always check your local library, either in person or if they have a website. A lot of libraries have events going on that are free, like free family events, sometimes movie nights, sometimes game nights. I think at Willard on Wednesday mornings, we have a story toddler time with Miss Lucy, and she reads stories. And it's just, it's a fun, free resource for these children to come and do. The other part of it is sometimes the internet isn't your friend and you may need help looking up one topic. And sometimes it's tough topics. I mean, you know, drugs, alcohol, addiction, rape, all these tough topics, and people are embarrassed. And I guess the one thing I would love to say is that, you know, we as librarians are here to help. We're not here to judge. So if you're going to come at me and go, this is what I need, I'm going to help you find that. And there is no judgment.
That's good to know. I never thought about that. Yeah.
It is true that, like, you know, I like to be a librarian and like to have, you know, studied library sciences, you're learning how to like also teach people how to properly research, because so much access to information really like makes it difficult for a lot of people.
It does. It does. And, you know, and some people, like I had a patron come in the other day, and, you know, for liabilities, I can't fill out paperwork, or we can't fill out paperwork or tax forms. But if you don't understand how to pronounce a word or what a word means, like we can help you with that. And I sat with a patron and I helped her, you know, read through it and, you know, broke it down in a way to help her understand what this says. I mean, it's, you know, I mean this nicely, it's government cardboard. And sometimes you're just going, what?
Yeah.
And that simple help. And it means the world to people when you actually, you know, take time and help them with something. And, you know, so again, like I said, libraries are kind, they're free. You know, I would absolutely, if we can't help you, we can try to direct you in a way to help you.
How can our fans get in touch with you if you want to put that information out? And how can they definitely follow information on the library?
Okay. So our library website is willard.lib.in.us. And we have a plethora of information on there. If you go to our events tab, it shows all the different events we do. We do virtual crafternoons, so you can come in and get a free craft kit and then do this craft kit at home with a video that shows you how to do it. We also have ghost tours that are coming up. Those are free. The tickets are free. You just need to register and make sure that you bring either your email confirmation or a physical piece of paper when you come in, because there's only a select amount. Because our website is so fantastic, it does best on a desktop and not on your phone. Something we're working on. And our tour dates for that is October 13th and the 15th, the 20th to the 22nd, and then the 27th. And the date or the times are 7, 8, and 9 p.m. And they're about an hour each. It's not a spook house, so nothing's going to jump out and scare you. It's a little bit of history about the library. If something does, you know what? I will be there with you. You know what? Basically, you know, I haven't been scared lately, so maybe I won't be like, oh, let's be friends.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm sure that guy hiding behind the bookshelf is part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a spook house. So it's just kind of a quick tour, quick history about the library. And then we kind of jump into all the fun, spooky stories that happen throughout the library. And we do update it, so it's a little different every year because new things happen and new creepy things happen. And then if you want to check out our ghost cams, you can go to willardghost.com. And you have a plethora, I think like 7 cameras. So you'll have the genealogy or the research floor, adult services, the stairs, the children's story pit, the children's room, and then the hallway.
Cool.
So all of our socials for Instagram, TikTok, Facebook is Willard Public Library, all one word.
I Google imaged the library and it looks so
Isn't amazing. It beautiful?
It's so cool.
Oh, it's beautiful. If you guys ever want to come out this way, I will give you a wonderful tour, and maybe I can even, you know, work it in there to do an after hours thing and see if you guys can catch anything.
Uh-oh.
It's exactly what you imagine libraries to smell like. Like, you just walk, you're like, yes.
Well, that's why we keep JJ around, is for his vast beautifulness and his smells. All right, with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Stacey Dotson.
Ooh.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's Hypothetical.